When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. Real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now.
Greetings, everyone. Bill Nye here. I'm your guest host this week on Star Talk, and I'm joined with your friend and mine, our beloved Chuck Nice.
Hey, look at that. Applause and everything. Thank you, Bill.
Chuck, it's good to see you.
Always good to see you. This week
on Star Talk, we're just talking.
Yes, we are.
About stars.
Exactly.
And you're going to start with a question from our beloved audience.
Yes, we are. We're going to do a Cosmic Queries where we have gathered questions from all over the interwebs. And
over the cosmos.
That's why
they're queries of cosmic nature.
There you go. Our first one is actually from Alpha Centauri. No, I'm joking.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Before we get going, though, let me just say, one, you're wearing a very fetching sweater. It's quite fashionable. And two, I really dig the Planetary Society pin that you are sporting. And I would like to know where I can get one because, well, first of all, I will have to join the Planetary Society. So maybe you can tell me how I can do that.
Oh, yes. Well, you should check out planetary.org.
Planetary.org.
The world's largest non-governmental space interest organization advancing space science and exploration so that people everywhere know the cosmos and our place within it. Elevator door closing. So, I took one class from Carl Sagan back in the disco era.
Okay.
I joined the Planetary Society when it started in 1980. And now I'm the CEO of the Planetary Society. And Chuck, we advance space science, we advance exploration in three ways. We make things.
Okay.
We create. We made a spacecraft.
I know that.
Four sail spacecraft.
And it's a light sail, right?
Light sail. And we are on the second Falcon Heavy rocket. Now, the Falcon 1 had how many engines, Chuck?
One.
Falcon 9 had how many engines?
I'm going to say two. How about nine?
Yes! The Falcon Heavy is, in a sense, three Falcon 9s strapped together. 27 first stage engines, yeah.
Wow.
And so this spacecraft is built by people like you who just thought it would be cool. And so we are going to prove that we can orbit the Earth with a solar sail.
Right.
This will be the Earth.
Right.
So we come, you're the sun out there. We come karate chop towards you this way, twist in space, get a push. Our orbital energy takes us out here. Mm-hmm. We go like this, whoa, and increase our orbital energy, and we're excited.
So may I ask you, when the solar winds come rolling in?
Solar wind is barely a hundredth of the effect of the photons.
Okay. So is that what that is?
It's the sun.
It's the sun itself.
Crazy.
Right.
And you can do it either from classical physics with pointing vectors, or you can do it with relativity.
Okay.
E equals mc squared.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how we express momentum in physics?
No.
It's mass times velocity.
Okay.
So now let us divide both sides of E equals mc squared by c.
The constant, then so you get
E over c equals mc.
Right.
MC is an expression for momentum.
Gotcha.
So it's about 9 micronewtons per square meter.
Wow. Because you're doing that in the vacuum.
Vacuum, and it's day and night.
It's day and night.
Wait.
Go ahead.
We're in space. There's no night.
Ah,
Whoa. And so then at the planetary side, we educate. We have, I believe, the world's foremost long-form journalists on the web.
Uh-huh.
And then we advocate. People like me go to Washington, D.C. and get congressmen and senators on board with planetary exploration. Two things I want in my lifetime with respect to planetary exploration, Chuck.
Okay.
I want to look for signs of life on another world.
Very cool.
Better yet, I want to find signs of life, like fossil bacteria on Mars, or stranger still, something still alive.
Something alive. And living bacteria.
Yes. Twice as much ocean water as the Earth. Are there Europanians swimming around out there, around the moon of Jupiter, on the moon of Jupiter? And the other thing, Chuck, don't want the Earth to get hit with an asteroid.
You know, that I got a feeling that that might, that might raise our insurance premiums.
Yeah. So it's like, it's control, alt, delete for civilization.
Exactly.
You don't want that. Just this thing in Chelyabinsk a couple years ago, 3 years ago. Relatively small rock. 1,000 people go to the hospital.
Right. Windows shattered everywhere. Sonic crazy. Booms, the whole deal.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool. Chuck. All right. Well, let's
get
into
it. Thank you for the promo. I'm glad you like the pin.
I do.
I know a guy. CE freaking O.
Okay. I'm going to take you up on that. All right. Let's get into our cosmic queries. Let's go with David Zuniga.
David Zuniga.
Zuniga. He is a PhD, and he is at Dr. David Z.
We're promoting David.
We're promoting David. Because he's promoting himself. He's smart enough to actually write down all this good stuff.
Read it. You didn't even, but go ahead.
There you go. He says, from a perspective of, from your perspective, what are the problems that faces the U.S., the most pressing, and what should we do about it?
Well, the most pressing problem for any country, anybody, is climate change, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And the longer we ignore it, there's two problems. First of all, the climate will change faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is our competitors. You, I believe, are also native U.S.ian.
I am.
Our competitors in other countries will produce better, cheaper solar panels, better, cheaper wind turbines,
wow,
better, cheaper electrical distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have to be buying, the U.S. will have to be buying these commodities from other
So interesting you said that. I just read a thing in Financial Times about the fact that
Chuck reads Financial Times. You're a nerd, man.
I don't want to promote that, Bill. Let's keep that on the DL.
You're a hipster. So anyway, what
nobody's
going to
believe
was,
that either.
You were reading, no, yeah. Especially
so
the
anyway,
wife.
Yeah. Great She's article on FT about the fact that China is trying to corner the market when it comes to solar panels. And we were ahead, and because of how our government has basically treated, they've suppressed our attempts to continue to be the leader in this area. China has, in that void, stepped in, and now they are not only surpassing us, but they are about to make it so that we're not going to be able to catch up.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the U.S. has been behind before.
That's true.
But the opportunities are huge. And so if you're out there, you want to make solar panels, get on it. I am the first to confess or point out, I did a bit for a company that was going to have this new manufacturing technique using, instead of a saw to cut silicon, we're going to use protons.
Wow.
And put them, you put your silicon in your particle accelerator atom smasher that you have.
Okay, yeah.
And they go to, it's very, apparently, for people who are into it, you can control the depth that the protons penetrate.
Okay.
And you give it an electric charge and poink, you get this perfect thin slice of silicon without any sawdust.
Wow.
But that company, in my estimate, and we'll see what happens, was, when I recorded this thing, didn't have enough money, undercapitalized.
Right.
And so maybe it'll come around. It's a cool idea.
That is a cool
idea. Anyway, I mention it because it's just one idea.
Mm-hmm.
If we were encouraging innovation in solar panels, we would be innovating in solar panels.
Right.
If we're giving tax breaks to fossil fuel industry and deregulating that industry so that they can impact other people's environments recklessly or aggressively, and
that's what we're going to be doing.
Going the wrong way.
Going
so let's get
way.
To work, peoples.
There you
let's
go.
Be optimistic.
All right. Let's go now to Chris Marcello, or Marcello, if you so will.
Chris Marcello.
Chris Marcello from Facebook wants to know this.
Facebook.
At this time.
I'm sorry, that was, I apologize. It's just irresistible when you, I apologize. Science guy ends career with off man. Okay, take it.
At this time, should we, as a world, treat science as anything but a global pursuit? Should we abandon the competitive nature of science discovery, or have we reached that point where science should be pursued with as much collaboration as possible? Is there cooperation among scientists worldwide to the point where they have eliminated the competitive aspect?
Oh, scientists are so competitive.
Yeah.
And BT Dubs, there's an adage, where the money is small, the politics are big.
Woo!
A lot of scientists. Now, you might associate scientists with inventors who invent something that makes somebody rich, because not only are they inventors with some insight into material science or electricity or software, but they're also extraordinary business people.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, most scientists are academics. Some of them drive, you know, Honda Civics.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're very competitive. And that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
But in the case, like, Neil's not here. Do you remember Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I don't think I've heard of him.
Yeah, well, there's pictures on the web. Anyway, okay. He is an astrophysicist. He may have mentioned that 7 or 8 times a paragraph. And in astronomy, especially, people cooperate worldwide, because when you're looking at the heavens from a spinning platform,
right,
to wit, the Earth, only a third of the Earth is practically in looking at the sky at any one time, and
right.
So these guys and gals really do cooperate.
Yeah, well, you need the help of the other person. It's actually an additional set of eyes.
That's exactly what it is.
Right.
And you know, space exploration would not really be possible without Canberra in Australia.
Wow!
And I mention it because Australia just started its own space program. Way to go!
Oi!
Right there, September, October. Way to go, Australia.
There you go. All right. Hey, great question there, Chris. So let's move on and have Don Violetto. Wow, look at that. Two very...
Your accent's compelling.
Well, yeah. Well, actually.
Anyway, go ahead.
Don Violetto says this. What effects will the dismantling of the EPA have on this country and our globe, as well as future research and, I like that she threw this in here, education?
Yes.
What a wonderful inquiry about education, and I don't know where that...
You've choked him up.
Yeah, I like it, but go ahead,
Don.
He's
choked up.
Yeah.
So the EPA, you might think it's being dismantled. It's just being run by, or somebody's been put in charge who doesn't much care about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the environmental protection professionals, the bureaucrats...
People who've been there.
They're just going to be there.
Right.
And they're all just looking at their watch. We'll be here after you're gone, sir. Carry on, Mr. Pruitt.
It's like agents in my business.
That's right. Yeah.
As they say, talent comes and goes, but agents are forever.
So I think the bureaucrats know what's up, and they're doing their jobs despite their leader. The problem is going to be that all the environmental damage that's done over the next few years because of this upheaval at the agency, mm-hmm, is going to have to be undone.
Right.
And it will be, because people will realize the great value of the environment, and they won't put up with it. So I predict, and it's not extraordinary, that the days of the anti-environmental movement within the Environmental Protection Agency are numbered.
All right.
This is not sustainable.
Yes.
You know, by the way,
yeah,
EPA was set up by Richard Nixon. For crying out loud, everybody. You know, the word conservative used to have to do with conservation. Peoples. Come on. We'll reverse this. You'll see.
Yeah.
Read on, Chuck.
So before we go on, let me just ask you this. Do you think that as we see a depression of activity at the EPA, along with a burgeoning economy, which, although we've been in it for many, many years, you know, it can't continue forever, that what will happen is as we enter into some type of recessive contraction in the economy.
A correction, as they say it.
They
don't talk plainly.
Yeah, they don't. Okay.
I mean, stocks are going to be worth less. No, it's a correction.
Correction. So as we see this kind of correction or economic downturn, we will also probably be at a place where maybe we're not in this type of administration, and we'll have to reinstitute the proper regulations, and then you'll have people blaming those regulations for the economic downturn.
As we say at this point, you may be right. But keep in mind, the economy is expanding, and the stock market especially is doing well, but the disparity between rich people and poor people is growing.
Right.
And that, I also claim, is not sustainable. I don't think that's an extraordinary economic point of view.
Okay.
This you concentrate more wealth with wealthy people and less with middle class and poor people. You're just not, the tax base is not sustainable, and public works will, everybody loves the word infrastructure, will not be maintained. And that this is obvious to everybody is interesting.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens in the coming years. But I think the pendulum is going to swing back hard.
All right.
In the U.S.
Bill Nye, giving us hope.
Well, you got to be optimistic. But, you know, you guys, I'm not the world's foremost authority on economics. But banking, I guess literally, on extraordinary growth in the economy to pay off the debts you're accumulating now sounds cool, but I don't think it's going to work. You know, I'm of an age where it didn't work in the 1980s,
exactly.
This notion that you could just cut and cut and cut.
All right.
So we'll see what happens. And along that line, if you degrade the environment, everything is worth less. So the this value that you think you're creating isn't there. If an oil company can't extract oil, it's not worth anything. You know, assets are underground, literally. Lead on.
All right. Kafkaesque Me from Instagram. That's the name.
It's creepy. Kafkaesque
Me.
If you haven't read Kafka and you're feeling great, read Kafka and you won't. Take a chuck.
Here we go.
A paraphrase.
If humans never existed, speaking of Kafkaesque, if humans never existed, would there still be climate change?
Yeah, this is what we talk about all the time. Climate changes naturally, but humans are causing it to change much faster than it would otherwise.
Okay.
And our guest, Kate Marvel, pointed out that humans are changing the climate more than 100% faster than it would have happened normally, because solar activity, the sun, is not as hot and bright as it is sometimes, because it has its own cycles. It has storms and weather, as it's called. And so the sun's actually cooling us off a little bit, but humans are warming the world up so fast that we're outstripping the sun's effect.
Look at that.
More than 100%.
Wow.
If you like to worry about things, Chuck, you are living at a great time. Fantastic time.
Human beings doing more than the sun.
Yeah.
That's basically
what we're holding in all this heat with all this carbon dioxide and stuff.
Okay. This is Brad, because we're almost out of time, right? So here
we go.
Almost
out of time for this first segment.
Hang on. I like Brad Krotz.
Any more to come?
Yeah, Brad wants to know this. Why is it that the scientific community stays out of politics? And I'll add to that, especially when you guys know more than the politicians.
Well, okay. I don't stay out of politics.
Okay.
Because I'm involved in the politics of space exploration. And the reason I am in the politics of space exploration, it brings people together.
Okay.
Politicians that would otherwise not get along about anything can agree that space is good. And if you're in the United States, NASA is the best brand the United States has. This is Star Talk, Cosmic Queries Edition with Chuck Nice. I'm your guest host, Bill Nye. We'll be back right after this.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Bill Nye here. I'm your guest host of this edition of Cosmic Queries on Star Talk, along with everybody's favorite, Chuck Nice.
Thank you, Bill.
Chuck, you have a stack of questions there stored outside of your body on this plant-based medium. And you have a good one, you said.
I do.
A three-parter.
I have a three-parter for you, and this is from Anthony Fisher. And Anthony comes to us from Facebook and would like to know this. Hey, Bill, if you could ask any extraterrestrial intelligence just three questions.
Three questions.
What would those three questions be?
What's the significance of water on your world?
Ooh.
What do you have a situation? What do you use for your standards?
Oh,
like your meters and your kilograms.
What is your standards of measurements?
And then, I guess, what's your favorite color?
You got me on that one.
From a scientific standpoint, what if they look in the infrared?
Right.
Their favorite color is some extraordinary thing that we, you know, it's some ultra X-ray, some deal. They live near some pulsar, and they're illuminated with X-rays every 30 times a second.
I'm interested in your standards of measurement question. Is that because you are an engineer?
I guess. It's also because Dr. Tyson and I disagree on this.
Really?
Wait,
first of all, let me just say, I am shocked that you and Dr. Tyson would disagree on anything.
So, he embraces Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Nobody else does. Furthermore, I claim, and he's not here to defend himself, part of what threw him off, pun intended, with the deflate gate was his unfamiliarity with degrees Rankine.
Okay. Now, I'm going to have to acknowledge my own ignorance. Yeah, degrees Rankine.
Yeah, so, in other words, my answers to the extraterrestrials, which were not thought through, I was under pressure here on Star Talk, I went with something that I thought would be a topic of controversy here on the Talking of Stars. So, when you make an air conditioner or a refrigerator and you want it to work, you have to do all of your calculations in absolute temperature scales.
Okay.
So are you familiar with this idea of absolute zero?
Absolute zero. I think it's, is it minus 273 degrees Kelvin? Or is it zero degrees Kelvin and minus 273 degrees?
Here it is. So let's start with absolute zero is where there's no molecular motion.
Okay.
And it is nominally a theoretical place.
Right.
Because anything you have in the box is going to be connected to the world. The freezer is going to be sitting on a table which is on the Earth. So, in a sense, there's no way to get to absolute zero. What these people love to do, and who wouldn't? You get an atom in a vacuum, mm-hmm. and you bzzz it with a laser. Except right. in a vacuum, there's no sound. And it stops for a moment, and then you try to understand its properties at absolute zero. All right. So, in the Fahrenheit scale, absolute zero is minus 460.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, there was a Scottish engineer, and to honor him, we have the Rankine scale. And so, degrees Rankine. And if you live in the U.S., Israel, Australia, most of your air conditioners are going to be run in degrees Rankine. But that's changing. We're going to Celsius now. And you mentioned minus 273.1 degrees Celsius. That is, the other expression for that is zero Kelvins.
Or Kelvins, right.
So it is not degrees Kelvin. A Kelvin is a unit. You don't believe me?
Right, okay.
Go to the hardware store. Look at the little package for your light bulb. It says 2700K.
Right.
That K are Kelvins.
Kelvin, right. Yeah. Same thing with my camera. The color temperature is 5600K is daylight.
So this is, there's a fabulous thing in physics described in English as a black body. Have you ever heard this? And it's not about ancestry.
It's not about this beautiful machine that I live in.
So a black body is a theoretical thing that either, if it's colder than its surroundings, absorbs 100% of the heat that strikes it.
Right.
Or if it's hotter than its surroundings, radiates all that energy. Right. So you've seen the fireplace poker?
Yes.
Orange hot.
Right.
That's 1700 Kelvins. The yellowish light bulbs, 2700 Kelvins.
Right.
The white hot fireplace poker or lightning, you're getting into your 5700s, your 9000 Kelvins.
Right.
And so it's a cool idea or a hot idea.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Anyway, it's a fascinating thing what we choose for standards. And so the meter, which was the start of the whole thing, was intended to be a 10 millionth of the distance from the North Pole to the equator if measured through Paris.
Okay.
And that was pretty close. But now we use a certain number of wavelengths of the light emitted by Krypton gas when zapped.
What?
Cool, yeah.
That is really cool.
So these lights that are here, some of them are fluorescent.
Some of them,
and
yes.
They work with mercury vapor. You jolt the mercury vapor with a few hundred volts of electricity. Volt is also a metric unit.
Mm-hmm.
So are amps, so are watts, everybody. You jolt the mercury vapor. It gives off a black lightish ultraviolet thing. It hits paint inside the tube, and the paint glows in the visible.
Yeah. There you go. Man, that is... Wow, look at that. All of that from standard measurements.
Science is the coolest thing ever.
It really is.
I was under pressure talking to the aliens.
I'm glad,
sines,
though.
Sines, cosines.
Oh, what a...
No, math stuff.
What a...
How about Laplace transforms things?
Well, what a great, great answer. All right, let's move on. This is Lines by Lund wants to know.
So creative are the sobriquets,
yeah.
The nicknames.
Yeah, those nicknames are great.
In plural in French, I guess it's sobriquet.
Lines by Lund wants to know this.
There's a word after it. Yes.
Shouldn't New Year's be on the 21st of December when the distance to the sun is the greatest?
That changes because of the wobble of the Earth's orbit. Now, so you guys, what happened is, the thing of it was, they had this great idea to have 360 days a year.
Okay.
Babylonians.
Right.
Divide 360 by 60
mm-hmm.
and 6. But they loved the 60. Divide it by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, 20. Babylonians thought this was fabulous.
This is a great number.
We still have 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour. We still have this. But if you do 360 days a year, there aren't enough days.
Right.
And in the tropics, my understanding is you don't notice it right away. You can go through a whole generation without quite noticing that, you know, it's not as hot or cold as it was.
Right.
But so they would just have a big party. for 5 days. And the Romans had Saturnalia.
Saturnalia.
Yep. And then the Christians reconfigured the birthday of Jesus so that it happened at the same time to get everybody on board with this.
Hey, listen, no better way to popularize your religion than attaching it to a five-day party.
Yes. And then the pagans got this thing where is winter ever going to be over? I'm going to bring evergreens in my house.
Right.
And that's why we have these traditional Isaac Newton's birthday trees. During the Isaac Newton birthday day. Yes.
Right.
So one of my favorite things, and I got into a little thing with our beloved Neil about this many years ago, is the Catholic Church likes to tell everybody, and quite reasonably, that Isaac Newton was born on the 4th of January, 1643.
Okay.
But his mom thought it was the 25th of December, 1642, because they weren't reckoning calendars the same way.
Okay.
And to this day, pun intended, we rely on the Gregorian calendar after Pope Gregory the 13th, who, now, did I get this right? 1572, is it 1582, declared that October 5th shall be followed by October 15th. Threw away 10 days to adjust the calendar.
Wow.
They could tell, you know, my dad told me to plant the crops when the sun's past that hill over there. But, you know, the sun's way past the hill, and it's got to be time to plant the crops.
Right.
So this 10-day thing, if you're a landlord, this is great. You owe me another month's rent. If you're a tenant, I do not owe you another month's rent.
That's funny.
So they literally had wars about it, and it wasn't until 1756, I believe, that the British government decided to get on board with the Gregorian calendar. So you guys, this is the coolest innovation. Understand, appreciate the insight of our ancestors who came up with the following rule. Chuck.
Go ahead.
We were around for 2016.
We were.
Was it a leap year? It's not a trick question.
No, right?
Yes, it was.
No. Oh, no, yeah. Was it? Yeah.
Okay. 2012.
2012.
2008.
Right.
2004.
Right.
2000. 2000. Leap years.
Right.
One and all. What about 1900? It's a trick question. No.
No.
So the Gregorian calendarians decided that if the century is not evenly divisible by the number 400,
it shall not be a leap year.
So that you would not be adding too much time, as the Julian calendar is doing, still does, if you subscribe to Julian calendration,
right.
Horology, if I may, study of time. So, it's just this amazing insight. They did it without spacecraft.
Right.
They did it without flat earthers on the internet. They figured it out with this extraordinary precision by studying the night sky. You got to respect that.
That's very, very.
Got to respect that. So if you add a leap day all the time, you add 11 minutes too much. And after a few centuries, you get a lot of 11
minutes.
That's
a lot of time over a little.
11 minutes plus some change, yeah.
End up having to throw away some time again.
Which is, yeah.
All right, okay.
So I'm all for having a big party at the end of the year and starting the party on the 21st to this guy's quote. I think it's great.
All right.
Let's go.
There we go.
We'll have 9 days of craziness. Cool.
Let's go to Jim Fitz. Jim Fitz on Instagram would like to know this. Why do I feel closer to the universe now that I've done acid several times in my life?
Okay, so let me say, by the way, everybody, you should, of course, when you're not listening to this podcast and enjoying the video, you should be watching Bill Nye Saves the World on Netflix. Yes, I know. So on one of the shows, we had a guy who subscribes to prescribing lysergic acid. Is that how I said it? LSD.
LSD.
Yeah. And due respect, you may feel close to the universe, but my interaction with this guy, I just think he has brain damage. I'm not joking. I just think there, and I bet it's genetic. This is like alcohol. I bet there's some people that can tolerate LSD without any changes.
Right.
And there's other people that can't. Like some people can tolerate alcohol, and it's something you inherit, and some people can't.
Right, yeah. Some people are addicted to alcohol from the moment from their first drink. Yeah. They just don't know it yet.
And so on and so on. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a huge genetic component. But if you feel closer to the universe and you're able to function, I guess it's a pun, knock yourself out. But I would be Trey's careful A's. I'd be very careful with that stuff. I don't think you're really closer to the universe. I think your mind has changed. Your brain has changed enough where your perception's changed enough.
There you go.
Listen to old man Bill.
All right. So, dude.
The kids today.
Answer to your question is, you're high, dude.
Well, you might.
It's called a flashback, okay?
Well, I knew somebody that lost eyesight in a part of her eye.
Really?
From LSD.
From tripping acid?
She says she has a spot. It's very interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, there you go.
Don't... She looked at a bright light when she was high. I mean, a too bright a light and damaged her eye.
Beware. Beware, kids. That's all. Okay? Just beware. Jim Beam from 17. Jim Beam 17, speaking of, says, can you please talk about NASA and science funding being redirected to outer space? What happens to the satellites providing data about Earth? Do they continue to get the same funding?
What goes on? This is what we do at the Planetary Society, Jack Daniels. What's his name?
Jim Beam.
Yes. That's what we do at the Planetary Society, is advocate for supporting the exploration of the planets in the solar system and the Earth. The Earth is a planet. So there's controversy about certain people being nominated to be the administrator of NASA, and there's been a proposal to move NASA's Earth science budget to NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. But NASA generally lets the contracts that build the Earth-studying satellites. So unless the money goes to NOAA, you don't want to do that. You want to, the quo is status enough, if I may interpunify. So we fight for this. Space exploration is an extraordinary investment, whether exploring farther and deeper in space or we're exploring our own world. Space exploration brings out the best in us. We don't want to cut the NASA budget. It's the best brand, the best, most recognizable logo at anybody in the world. So let's fund this. Consider planetary.org. Check us out. We advocate for you. Washington's a small town based on relationships, and that's what we do, is establish relationships in order to imbue in Congress people and their staffers the passion, beauty, and joy, the PB&J of the cosmos.
Nice.
So with that said, you're listening to Star Talk Cosmic Queries. Chuck Nice and I will be back right after this.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.
If your child is struggling in school, then IXL is right for your family. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's no wonder it's used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Plus, a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/20. Visit IXL.com/20 to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Greetings, greetings, Star Talk listeners. Bill Nye here. I'm your guest host this week on Cosmic Queries, and I'm joined with the Cosmic Inquirer himself, Chuck Nice.
That's right, Bill.
We have a stack of plant-based information storage media.
Yes, we do.
Papers.
Paper.
with your questions on them, and they are really, I got to say, Chuck, the questions are generally pretty great.
Yeah, they are. I'm really digging
it. You don't have to sound surprised. These are Star Talk listeners.
This is true.
These are your fans, man. Of course they're good.
We have a better quality of listener, that is for sure.
We have the best.
Best, yes.
So are we under some obligation to take a Patreon?
You know what? I forgot to take our Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah, it's not the Patreon. You know what? So let's do our Patreon question for.
Yes, just go for it.
Yeah, from Ben Ratner at Ben Makes TV. He wants to know this. At Ben Makes TV wants to know this. Can we terraform NYC? I'm currently cold and I would like to not be cold.
Here, NYC is New York City. Can we terraform it?
Can we terraform it?
This is in the range of an ironic, charming question, not really intended to provoke a reasonable answer.
No, exactly.
But we do kind of terraform NYC. You go on the subway train, it's warm.
That's right.
That's where you go into buildings, it's warm. Chuck's going to take a sip from his official size and weight Star Talk mug.
Okay. I hope we don't cut any of that out.
You really think you're back?
I'm going to press on.
And Chuck, you can tell us all. Now that you've tried New York City water, you feel you can't live without it.
I got to tell you, that's good water.
It's good water.
I wonder if it's raw water.
No, you don't want raw water, people.
Yeah. What's your feelings on the raw water, Bill?
Okay.
Seriously?
Okay. Let's take, for example, Louis Pasteur.
Okay.
It's 300 years ago, 250 years ago. He figured it out with a microscope, but believe me, Og and Agathe there in what is now France in their cave dwelling, people in what is now Congo or Zimbabwe, they knew that you don't want to drink water with bacteria in it.
That's right.
They conducted that test repeatedly. They're all over that. So raw water with bacteria in it is just probably not good for you. Wow.
All right. This is a Craig F100, and Craig wants to know this. Other than our own universe, could it be possible to contain a black hole? Can black holes contain enough matter to have any density?
Okay, what was the universe part?
He said other than our own universe, I guess being the universe itself, within that you have black universe. You have black holes in the universe. But that notwithstanding,
there's a lot of mass.
Another way to contain
a black hole is a star so massive.
How massive is it?
It's so massive that not even light can escape.
Oh.
Supermassive. I think it. I think you may have interchanged some big ideas there. And if there's another universe, that would be cool. Can we get there by falling into a black hole or this mythic other idea, wormhole, which would be another modification of space-time?
Right.
So-called warping. But as Lisa Randall, the astrophysicist, remarked, having multiple universes is the most satisfying worldview or cosmic view.
Yeah.
Not only are we not alone in the universe, because there might be some extraterrestrials, but wait, we're not alone because we're not even the only universe.
There you go.
Wow, that makes you feel good.
All right, there you go, buddy. Let's move on to Jason Edwards from Facebook, who says this. Asking for my daughter's 8th grade class, how will we make water in either a spacecraft or a planet, since it will be hard to take with us when we go to wherever it is that we're going?
So on Mars, by way of example, there is a lot of water under the sand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you could get to it. Then it's been proposed that you use a jacket of water, a shell of liquid water to protect astronauts from radiation. And then when you get to Mars,
you'd have a
bunch of water.
You drink the shell that protected you.
And this idea of recycling urine on a spacecraft is a fine one. That's a good idea. We didn't need to use it on the space shuttle because it was only up there for a little while. But
so you recycle it and
thinking with this for years.
You filter it then, I would assume.
Yeah, and you want to filter it and then shooting from the hip, you might just distill it.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
But distillation takes a lot of energy, and so this is a problem that space utility workers have been addressing for 50 years. So if you're out there, get on it. I mean, the problem is sort of solved, but you want to solve it in an efficient and very, very reliable way and not throw water away once you're on a spacecraft.
I don't always drink my urine on a spacecraft, but when I do, I make sure it's distilled. Stay healthy, my friends.
Okay.
I love that guy.
Isn't he the best?
Well, it's good. My favorite joke was for the most interesting man.
Yeah.
Sharks have a week for him. That was a really good joke. I didn't write it.
That's really funny. All right, cool. Let's move on with Rocket Labs. Wants to know this. When are people going to really start seeing the impacts of global warming?
They're affecting right now, everybody.
Okay.
It's very, very difficult to connect any one weather event with climate change. However, what is happening now? Fires in California, wet winter, all this vegetation grows, extraordinarily dry summer, lightning strikes, and you got fires that go like crazy because it's dried out and there was all this low shrubbery vegetation that grew in the wet season of the previous year. Then another rainstorm comes and there's not enough vegetation to hold the hillsides. You know, I live out there some of the time. And these are not solid rocks. Every big hill is just a big sponge, and it fills with water. And then days later, it goes sliding down the hill. It soaks, heavy, 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 and then it breaks loose.
Okay.
So that's what you'd expect. Furthermore, there have been more days above average temperature last year than below. This is to say you can measure that the world's getting warmer. And the other place where you really notice it is Miami Beach, where the tides are coming in higher because the ocean is getting a little bigger. And it's getting bigger because it's getting just a little bit warmer. And the more pests show up on our farm sooner and stick around later because it's a little warmer.
Yeah.
We're already feeling the effects of climate change.
All right. Well, there you have it.
All right.
Yeah. Look at that. Way to go, climate change. Winning the battle. All right. Let's see here. This is at Skull and Crossbones from Twitter, better known as Caleb, says this. Is it possible?
Probably.
Okay. There you go. Right. And there's your answer, Caleb. All right. Moving on. No. Is it possible that the universe has collapsed on itself in the past and there have been multiple big bangs? If so, could the remnants thereof explain dark matter? Thanks. From West by God, Virginia.
Maybe.
Okay. There you go.
So right now, the universe seems to be accelerating in its expansion. So if this universe is accelerating in its expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So if our universe is accelerating in its expansion, why would a previous universe or manifestation of this space-time have not accelerated? And there may be a very good reason. And right now we subsume this unknown idea, these unknown ideas with dark energy and dark matter. These are unknown things. And Dr. Tyson likes to refer to it as Fred. Why not Steve or Hank or Al? Yeah. Or Mary. And so there's something pushing everything apart. We don't have an especially good understanding of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think back when my grandfather was working, coming of age, nobody knew anything about relativity.
Right.
But relativity still existed.
Still there.
Yeah. And so just think what will happen 100 years hence. People will very reasonably understand dark matter or strings, the strings of vacuum, energy that stretched out over kilometers hidden from us, and our dark energy. The reason we believe there's dark matter is we observe these stars which are held together a little bit, and the thing that we know of that holds them together is gravity.
Right.
So we presume there's some mass.
Okay.
So stay tuned. This summer, last summer, humankind detected gravitational waves predicted by the theory of relativity. We found them using our intellect and treasure. We built these two huge observatories, and we're building a couple more, 4 kilometers on a side.
Cool.
Super cool.
Cool.
Crazy cool.
All right. All right, Caleb. Good stuff. Good stuff, brother. All right. Here we go. Very interesting question here from I've always
They're
been your Sancho.
I've always been your Sancho.
I've always been your Sancho. That's right, what he says. Would it one day be possible for humans to photosynthesize light for sustainable energy the same way plants do? So I guess he's looking at world hunger. Could there be some type of apparatus that we could apply to our skin? We kind of photosynthesize vitamin D right now.
When you say, I guess. But when you say photosynthesis, we in science education think of green plants.
Right.
So you want to have green skin like a Vulcan and so then absorb sunlight and metabolize it?
I don't know.
Interesting irony for you irony buffs.
Okay.
In a sense, green light is the most common frequency of light brought to us from the sun, by the sun.
The green light?
Yes. So
why everything is green on Earth?
Well, why do plants reflect it? Why wouldn't they absorb the most plentiful wavelength? Doot, 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 doot. And the best idea anybody has is that evolution, processes of molecules making replicas of themselves, stumbled on this chlorophyll compound that works.
Okay.
And here we are.
There you go.
In evolution, you only have to be good enough.
That's it.
That's all you got to be. You don't have to be a guy who can do more sit-ups.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to do enough sit-ups.
Just do one more than the other guy.
So it's a cool question, but I think what you'll find in a more practical sense is our crops will become increasingly efficient.
Ah.
This is to say, we plant crops on industrial scales, plants and crops much closer together than we did 50 or 100 years ago. We now engineer the genes of crops so that we can use less pesticide or less herbicide or different herbicides and different pesticides.
Right.
And we are going to feed more people, 9 billion people, on less arable land, less farmland, because cities are expanding into farmland and the ocean is encroaching on like Delaware is a big farmland shoreline.
Right.
And things are going to change there.
Uh-huh.
Ha, 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 ha. And so we will, in the biggest picture of your question, Sanchez, we will use technology and agricultural innovation to use photosynthesis to feed us. We eat plants, or we eat things that eat plants, or we eat things that ate plants. We are at the top of the pyramid, and the plants are at the bottom. If you live in some exotic place, St. Louis, or Paragon, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
In the wintertime, a third of the oxygen you breathe comes from the ocean.
Wow.
In the summer, it's half. Those numbers were old. That may have changed. But it's a huge fraction of the oxygen you breathe is made at sea by phytoplankton.
Right.
How cool is that? It's cool. Humans are going to use photosynthesis.
Very cool. Well, there you have it. That's your answer. I am always, or
I've
always
been Sancho. By the way, look at a tree. It's big. It doesn't run around.
No.
We take all that energy and concentrate it. That's why there are people who eat meat. You've probably met them. And they do it because that protein, all that energy is concentrated in such a small volume and mass. It's fascinating. So, Chuck.
Yes, Bill.
This is a fabulous episode of Cosmic Queries.
It certainly was.
I want to assure you that there's more to come on a next episode of Cosmic Queries. But for now, this has been Chuck Nice, and I've been your guest host, Bill Nye. And we encourage you to keep looking up and listening to Star Talk.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.